everyone. Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason. And here we delve into those reasons. I hope you're all enjoying the holiday horror that there is to consume right now. I'd highly recommend checking out The Sacrifice game on Shudder if you haven't yet. It's a lot of fun. This week I have a horror writer from the Caribbean on the show named Ronaldo Cataro. We chatted about how he got into watching slashers as a kid with his sister and the dark mental spaces that he has to go in when he's writing a story that includes the perspective of a serial killer now. It was super interesting. He also told me about some Trinidad folklore, and I'm obsessed with learning more now. I need to find books on this. We talked about all that and more, which you will hear shortly, but if you want to get more involved with the show and join the community over at Patreon, click the link in the show notes, and for only $3 a month, you'll get early access to episodes, stickers, a monthly newsletter, and more. As always, please take a second to rate and review us wherever you listen, and let's get into my conversation with Ronaldo Cataro. Hey, Ronaldo, how are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here, especially on a day when it's almost 100 degrees Fahrenheit where you are. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure, no problem at all. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. So my name is Ronaldo Cataro. I'm a Caribbean horror author from Trinidad and Tobago. So if you hear like the dialect varying from Miss Allison's, that's why. We speak mostly Creole English here in the Caribbean. And yeah, I'm 19 years old, very ambitious, trying to get my foot into the horror genre. Grew up, you know, reading Stephen King, being into those types of things. So I said, you know, screw it, let me try writing horror. I have just one collection so far that came out in September 2022, Disingenuous Solace Volume 1. But so far I've written a few short stories, and I was nominated for my country's Youth Writer Award earlier this year.
Oh, that's amazing. So you've been a horror fan since a very young age, probably. So first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
It might be a little too cliche, but I'm very much into the Friday the 13th, that whole series. So Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives is my go-to comfort horror movie. Whenever I need like that little bit of inspiration, I just love that movie so much.
Oh, nice. Do you also like the sequels?
Yes, I could binge watch the entire franchise. So like on Friday the 13th especially, I just wait for that day. You know, like sci-fi used to have those marathons, that Friday the 13th marathon. I love those. I love like just binge through all. I could do that all day.
That's fun. I've only seen about three of them. What did you think of the 2009 Friday the 13th remake?
Oh my gosh. So it's so crazy that everybody was like, that's not Jason, and that's so uncharacteristic, and it's so bloody and gruesome. And now we idolize films like Terrifier. I thought it was like so refreshing and so unique. It was a great like take on a series that essentially kind of ran dry later on. It kind of like Jason X, he was in space, for God's sake. So like you had to start over somewhere. So I didn't mind it. I think it was a pleasant surprise.
That is probably my favorite Friday the 13th movie. So, hot take. So, how did you first fall in love with the horror genre, and how old were you?
So, my sister is actually the reason why I'm this fascinated with horror. She's 4 years older than me. And whenever she had to babysit, she would put on like any old horror movie, and she would need somebody to watch it with. So, by default, I had to watch it with her. And, you know, it came up when the time was she wouldn't be scared by them. And I would just be freaking out. I'd have to like hold onto her hand or anything for comfort. And then I got so, I don't want to say desensitized, but I got so used to like those horror tropes that it ended up like me being the one suggesting these sick, gruesome horror movies to her instead now. But since then, I've been in love with horror movies.
Oh, that's awesome. Is your sister still a horror fan? Do you still watch movies with her?
She's a mom now, and I tried to get her to watch Terrifier, and she googled the trailer, and when she saw the trailer, she was like, no, I'm not watching that at all. So I'm very much a horror fan, but she's kind of leaned away from it since becoming a mom.
Yeah, I've heard that. So why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane are fans of the genre?
I have this fascinating theory about that. I think it's like we find comfort because a lot of us who are into like the horror genre, we have either been outcasted or shamed some way, either believe some type of background, because a lot of people I've spoken to have had similar experiences. So I was always this weird kid in secondary school, where you guys say high school, where if we had like literature class or English class and we had to write like these stories, I would always write horror. Everybody else would have like this morally right story, like, you know, this person stole my pen and I confronted them and then everything was all right. I was writing about blood and guts and this one being kidnapped and stuff like that. I would be shamed. People would say things like, you know, he's crazy, something's really wrong with him, and I'd be outcasted because of that. I think that horror shows that, you know, you could be who you want to be. It celebrates individuality. A lot of people find comfort in horror movies. I'm sure like you've seen this horror movie that you could relate to, or any character. A lot of people are like big Scream fans. They relate to like a Sydney Prescott or like Friday the 13th fans. You know, it's just somebody that you could relate to being outcasted. It's always the outcasted person that's always celibate, always stays to themselves, that survives. It like it's so reflective of people who are shamed for not being fall victim to like peer pressure. Like, you know, you gotta be with this person or that person before you're 18 or whatever else. People who actually have their own unique perspective and could stand on their own like morals are the ones that levitate towards horror.
I love that answer. Yeah, I think a lot of horror fans probably have felt like an outcast in their lives, and they will admit it. I think probably everyone in the world has felt like an outcast sometimes, but maybe we're the only ones who feel the permission to be like, yeah, you know, I have felt like this before, because we watch all these movies and see all these characters on screen.
Yeah, definitely.
So what scares you today in movies and in real life?
Oh my gosh. So I used to be afraid of like those type of stalker serial killer kinds of movies. So like the slasher genre as a whole. I grew up watching, you know, every single Child's Play movie. I've seen every single Friday the 13th movie. But then I've gotten to like elevated horror. Sinister in 2015, my God, I am still afraid of that movie. That movie still gets me.
Oh,
It's just like,
it's intense.
yeah, I've gotten so used to like horror being on this grander scale. It's like this big lake setting or this big neighborhood, but like Sinister, because it's just this small household, it's like this entire universe just being encapsulated into this one small space. Like within these four people, it's not like you could run to like a deputy or anybody that could actually help you from this type of horror. It's something that still stays with me, because middle child as well too. So if you've seen that movie and you know the ending, whoo, I've been side-eyeing my little brother for like the past 10 years because of that movie. Up to now, I still do. He's gonna be a teenager and I still like I don't like him around me too much because of that movie.
Have you shown him the movie yet?
No, and I'm terrified to show him that movie. I'm afraid like he would see that movie and like he would just get influenced into like that category. I'm gonna wait till like he's 20 something before he sees that.
Does he like horror movies?
He does, because he knows that like I write horror.
Yeah.
So I included him in one of the stories that I did for a podcast earlier this year.
Oh,
So
cool.
he's like, yeah, he appreciates those types of things. We watched Terrifier 2 last year, but my mom came in and she was like, he can't watch that. She was more grossed out than him, so we had to take it off.
I did not watch Terrifier 2. I also haven't seen Terrifier 1. So I don't know. Maybe I'll work up to it one day, but I don't know. So what is your favorite subgenre in horror? I know you said that you grew up on slashers. Is that still your favorite, or is there something else
Yeah.
that you like more now?
I still like really levitate towards slashers, like up to now. Like even though I'm a huge fan of like Friday the 13th, I think that films like Scream and Nightmare on Elm Street, they still have their hooks in me, because what they did to the horror genre and what they've been able to do now, I think that those movies paved the way for all these horror inspirations right now. And just from the writer perspective, I think it's just so fun when you do slasher stories. Like those have been the most fun to write. Like I've done psychological, I've done like the gory type of horror stories, but slashers is just like get into that mindset. Is this gonna sound like really crazy of me, like you'll think like I'm a psychopath, but getting to vent to like the mind of a slasher, like a serial killer, and writing those stories from that perspective is like taking the isolation or like how you may have felt or your experience in life and transcending it into like what would have happened if somebody pushed me to the edge and seeing like what the end result of it is. So I'm still very much into slashes.
Awesome. Yeah, I've heard both writers and actors say that It's a very dark place to go to get into the mind of a serial killer. So that's interesting.
Yes.
I've never done it, and I probably never will. So I'll leave that to the professionals.
It's very scary, like diving into that aspect. I had this one story in my collection. It's called Silent Knife. It's about this guy stalking this girl while she's reading in the library. And he's recording her without her knowing what's going on. And he's venting to like the audience. It's kind of very like breaking the third wall type meta, talking to the audience. He's telling them everything that he's done and how much he stalked her. And a lot of people have read it and they were like, this was really dark. Like being in this character's head really messed me up. And thinking back on it, I think from real life experiences when I've had like falling out with people, I was able to like channel that character and get to write. And it took me like 30 minutes to write it on a bad day after school. I had just came back from school and I was writing it. So it's really something that you have to channel. For me personally, I like to channel my characters in my head and undertake like their issues when I start writing. So it's really dark when you write slashes.
That's really interesting. So what you're saying is basically you take your frustration from school and you come home and you get it out on the page.
Yeah, for those types of instances. So like if I'm writing slashers, I want them to be as realistic as possible. I read somewhere that, you don't want like a complete morally gray character or a completely good character or a completely bad character that like ruins the experience. You want a bad character that you could relate to, and you want a good character that you think did some really messed up stuff that you really can't, give them like that victory, saying that you were right for doing that, like you were completely wrong, and maybe you do deserve this to happen to you. That's like the type of characters that I write, because this female character, the lead in Silent Knife, she has a really tough upbringing. She has a lot of issues at home, like with her father and stuff like that, but nobody knows that except for the stalker person. And she comes to school and she has this completely nasty attitude. She's really horrible to be around, and she treats this guy like absolute shit. And because of that, now he takes it upon himself to humble her in a way by trying to kill her. So it's like she has her reasons for being mean, but at the same time, she doesn't have to be mean to the people that aren't hurting her, you know?
That's really interesting. So, what would you say is your favorite modern slasher?
Favorite modern slasher. I'm a huge Victor Crowley fan, but so far I'd have to give it to Terrifier. I'd have to give it to Terrifier for now, because I think that something's going to come along very soon on top of it. Like, we've had Happy Death Days and stuff. I think like the premise of those are unique, but I think that what Terrifier has been able to do with stretching the boundaries of what's acceptable in cinemas, I think that within this decade it's going to have some slasher movie that's going to top it. It had Halloween before it had Friday the 13th, and before Halloween there was Psycho. So like, that's just my mindset. Something's going to come along top it this decade, mark my words.
Ooh, all right. Maybe I just have to watch Terrifier. I think my boyfriend would be down to watch it with me. I'm a big scaredy cat, but I love it. Speaking of being scaredy cat, as a horror fan, I also deal with anxiety. And do you know what makes anxiety worse? Coffee. So I'm always looking for energy alternatives to coffee. So that's why I'm stoked to be partnering with the company Magic Mind on this week's episode. Like I said, coffee has been known to increase anxiety. So when the folks at Magic Mind reached out and asked to partner with us, I said absolutely. I often have trouble focusing all day long and my energy dips after the initial caffeine spike in the morning, and Magic Mind is here to help with that. After taking Magic Mind daily for about 2 weeks, I noticed that my memory was better after, and I was able to better focus. And the week after, I went back to doing coffee in the morning, and it definitely makes you feel jittery. So I definitely prefer the feeling that Magic Mind gives you. I'm such a super fan of brands that incorporate medicinal herbs and mushrooms in their products, and Magic Mind incorporates ingredients like ashwagandha, which reduces stress and anxiety, matcha, which is basically extended release caffeine, and cordyceps and lion's mane mushrooms. And don't worry, these aren't cordyceps like from Last of Us, but a powerful one nonetheless. It's an adaptogen that reduces inflammation, strengthens your immune system, and supports high energy levels and physical endurance. If you're ready to ditch that fourth cup of coffee and your afternoon crash, I totally recommend that you try this. You can get it at magicmind.com/Allison, Allison, and with the code Allison, Allison 2020. You can also get up to 56% off on your first subscription or 20% off your one-time purchase. That's Allison 20, Allison 20 for 56% off. They also have a 100% money-back guarantee, no questions asked, so there's really no rest to try it. So it's magicmind.com/Allison with the code Allison 20. For up to 56% off your subscription. Thank you so much to Magic Mind, and let me know if you try it and how much you love it. So do you have any favorite horror directors?
Favorite horror directors? During COVID, I had really gotten into like Alfred Hitchcock because I love his direction and like how he was able to describe what he visualizes. It was one of my aspirations is to direct a horror movie one of these days as well too. And to be in his mind and to see like what his direction was for movies like Psycho. It was really inspiring. So I'd have to go with him. Wes Craven as well too, like taking something like Nightmare on Elm Street that had run its course and then reinventing it in the mid-90s with New Nightmare as well too. And then Scream, like completely turning the entire horror genre upside down with Scream. That is admirable as well.
Yeah, he's a legend. So, like you said before, you're a horror writer and you released your debut collection of horror stories called Disingenuous Solace, Volume 1. Can you tell me more about those?
Sure. So, Disingenuous Solace, Volume 1 is a collection of 7 horror short stories. Each one takes place in this town called Serendipity Forest. It's this place that reels you in with its like nature and being genuine towards you. But then as like the longer you stay within this small town, the sooner you realize that, you know, a lot of these people, they have very malicious intentions. These people have these underlying things that they're trying to reel you into. And once you end up in Serendipity Forest, in the heart of it, you can't leave. And also, there's this creature lurking in Serendipity Forest. He holds domain over that entire town, and he's really the reason for all the evil there. But people don't realize that because he's dormant right now. It's until somebody comes and awakens him, then they'll know like the true destruction that he's capable of.
Oh, wow. That's heavy. So it's kind of like a time loop because you can't, once you come in, you can't leave? Or is it like, is that accurate?
I would say somewhat, but not entirely. So how it's set up is that the beginning starts closer to the start of autumn, and the stories carry out throughout the seasons until it reaches winter. So there's Suffocate, Blood Book, Suspicious Motion, Inside the House, Silent Knife, and then Snow at the Gemini Hotel. So the flow of time goes through basically the seasons, and as the stories progress, you'd see more and more of this creature from the background becoming like the main character closer to the end. I don't want to spoil anything, but okay. That's basically it.
Were there any horror movies that inspired you while you were writing these stories?
I had watched, so each story has its own inspiration. So like when I would do like Silent Knife, for instance, which was a slasher story, I would binge like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or I'd watch Psycho to see like what really makes a slasher movie that great. For psychological horror, such as Snow at the Gemini Hotel, the biggest inspiration for that was Us, Jordan Peele's Us, and The Shining. Because this one is set in a hotel as well too. And it's like this mother, she loses her daughter and her husband, and she just wakes up alone in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by snow, and she can't escape now. She's left for dead. So she tries to figure out what's going on with that. And wow. Blood Book is like huge inspiration for that was the Evil Dead franchise. But I think I took it down on a level with the book itself being this cosmic type of horror. The book itself is alive and it has its own stream of consciousness. It influences others who reads it. And a good friend of mine, well, she passed away this year. She had a YouTube channel. When she reviewed it, she said it was like marrying cosmic horror and disease horror. So wow. it was like the influence of the book and then like disease horror into one. It was enough like ickiness and enough gore, but not too much. It was like overkill. So I had like several, I had to transcend the subgenre to the horror to find what made each story work perfectly, which was fun because like free horror marathon, right?
Yeah. Oh, did you see Evil Dead Rise this year?
I have not, but my mom wants to see it really bad because she saw like the trailer and she was like, I relate to this lady heavily. Like she's under a lot of stress. Like eventually you will break from being a mom. So I have to see that one.
Yeah.
I really do.
So this was Volume 1. Do you have plans for a Volume 2?
I do. The plan is to have at least 3 volumes. So I want it to be something that's connected and that leads up to my debut novel. I don't want to put out the debut novel until I finish all 3 volumes because each one is connected. And then I would sever the connections from there because I don't want it to be too draining or like mentally frustrating to be like, we had to keep up with this and buy every book. I just want to get like this issue out. I have this plan, this intention for this greater evil in my debut novel, and I want to introduce him slowly and increase his power as each story goes along. So when the novel comes, it wouldn't disappoint.
Awesome. Where can people buy volume one?
So currently it's on Amazon. You can get it in Kindle and paperback edition.
Awesome. Well, I will leave a link to that in the show notes. So that's very exciting. That's so ambitious to have 3 volumes. So I have to ask, are there any haunted places that you've been to in Trinidad?
I haven't been to any haunted places, but there are a lot. So in Trinidad, we have this rich history of like different types of folklore and stuff like that, right? It's so extensive, so I wouldn't really get into it. But we also have a couple of islands off the coast of Trinidad, bordering next to Venezuela. And one of those islands is Shaka Shikari Island. That was known as the leper colony or Leper Island, because people who had contracted leprosy in Trinidad were taken to that island to be taken care of for the rest of their lives by nuns. And there was this legend that, well, the nuns came from around like Europe, around Italy side and stuff, right? So it had this legend that one of these nuns, she contracted leprosy, and on her voyage back from the island, she jumped off into the waters and committed suicide. So now a lot of fishermen who pass near that island, like after hours closer to like nighttime, they say that she walks around with a lantern on the shores of Shaka Shikari Island looking for her patients to treat.
Ooh, spooky. Love
Yeah, I have a story I'm working on with that. So I've written a few Caribbean horror show stories as well too, in addition to like this stuff with Serendipity Forest and the side. I like to keep an equal balance. So right now I'm finishing it up. I'm finalizing like the final edition of this show story, and hopefully it'll be published soon as well.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'd love to read more about Trinidad and Caribbean like lore and ghost stories and stuff. That's so interesting.
Yeah, and it's really similar to like a lot of like mainstream staples of folklore. You guys have vampires, we have something called a sukuniya. So that's a woman who peels off her skin and she transforms into a ball of fire throughout the night, and she goes house to house drinking blood from whoever she can. And if you see like the severed skin, like in the forest, people advise that you throw salt and pepper so that when she slips on her skin, you'd know who the sukuniya is. She'll be screaming for her life. So people like take a barrel and they nail her down in it and set her on fire.
Oh my
Stuff like that.
goodness, that's so creepy. She's called a Sukonia.
Sukunya, yes.
Sukunya. Oh, that's so
Yeah.
creepy. So, this is going back a few years now, but an article came out in 2020 that said that horror fans were handling the lockdown better than non-horror fans. Why do you think that was the case?
Well, there's a lot of like pandemic horror as well too, like before the pandemic actually hit. And I'm so evil. I made my parents like watch World War Z 28 weeks later, stuff like that during lockdown. And I was like, see, this is what they were talking about. And they was like so freaked out. They was like, oh, chill down my spine type of stuff. I think we were able to handle it because we have real life traumatic experiences that nobody was able to relate to. They were like, oh, live a little, like move on, and so forth. And now, you know, we weren't able to get empathy or sympathy from anyone. We had to have like this tough skin now in society. A lot of people in society that were the ones telling us to like grow up or it isn't that serious now, they're the ones that want sympathy and stuff like that. But we've been isolated. A lot of us are introverts, you know, we're accustomed being alone. So it wasn't really, no, never mind, anyways.
How locked down did Trinidad get?
Severely locked down. So it was, I think it was March 13th of 2020 was when they announced the lockdown. And we only opened up in late 2021, I believe. So I didn't have a graduation. I missed out on two
Oh.
graduations.
That sucks.
Yeah, no prom, no graduation. I wanted to cry.
Oh.
But it was really difficult because we had never seen anything like that, like just complete silence. It was like something out of The Walking Dead. Like roads just completely barren and empty. It was
Yeah, that's
just,
fair.
and if you know like the Caribbean or like Trinidad as a whole, we're like friendly people. You could go like from house to house, you could borrow anything. We like to give. We have, you know, that type of mentality to be severed from like neighbors and not be able to socialize with anyone was kind of the biggest challenge.
So, are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
The only one that comes to mind is Sinister. Still, like, honest to God, I've seen everything. People have told me not to watch The Exorcist. I've seen The Exorcist. I've recommended The Exorcist. People were like, you wouldn't like Terrifier. Terrifier is so goopy. It doesn't have any plot. It's just a lot of blood. I've seen Terrifier. And I mean, I'd agree to an extent, but I can still watch it. I can still eat and watch it. And like, my mom would think like something's wrong with me. We watched the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I think it was last week. And I was telling her, I was like, you know, this movie is making me like really hungry right now. Like I could eat right now. I could eat and watch those movies. I think only Sinister because like the psychological effect of family, it still messes me up. Insidious used to get to me, but not as much. I have to say that.
That's awesome. Yeah, Sinister. I've only watched it once, but I do want to rewatch it. So
I
maybe
want
sometime.
to as well, but I don't think I have the strength to watch it by myself. I had to watch it like during the day in the daytime. I can't watch that at night, honest to
Yeah,
God.
it's intense. It's very, very creepy. I love it. Have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
Not yet, surprisingly, no. So the plan was like in 2020 to go with my friends to like watch a movie, and then when lockdown happened, I haven't been to the cinemas since. I think the last time
Oh.
was in 2019.
Oh my goodness. You have to get back.
Yeah, I have to. And the sad thing is, like movies like Terrifier, they were banned, so they weren't allowed in cinemas in the Caribbean because like how intense they were. So couldn't see that one. I had to watch that one at home.
What's your favorite horror movie that you've seen in 2023?
The new Scream movie came out, Scream 6, that came out this year, right?
Yep.
I'd have to say so far it was that one, but I definitely think it would have. Once I see Evil Dead Rise, I think that will be my new favorite because Scream 6 didn't set the bar too high for me, if I'm being honest. I don't like those constant odes to like the other films. I think when a franchise is getting that old, it should do something refreshing and something new, but that's just me. But so far, it's Scream 6. That opening
Awesome.
was cold, like
Oh
it was
yeah.
shocking. That alone made it to the list because of that reason.
Yeah, it was good. What horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in the rest of 2023?
I'm going to be a bit biased here because I have like two friends that are venturing into the film world. I have Scott Donnelly. He has Cheetah Cheetah coming out as an independent film. And I saw that Janine Pike, she has her independent film, Her, coming out, I think sometime later this year as well too. So I'd be very happy to support and to see those movies, especially since Cheetah Cheetah is a slasher film adapted from one of Scott Donnelly's book. So
Oh,
there's the
cool.
bias side of me saying that I would be happy to support my two friends and watch that movie.
Oh, awesome. I'll have to be on the lookout for those. Are there
Definitely.
any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
The craziest thing is I'm such a psycho buff. I love the Psycho movies. I've seen Psycho 2, Psycho 3, and I think, yeah, Psycho 4 as well too, right? So I've seen all. I have supported that movie so heavily. I've urged my friends to see it, and they were like, ugh, it's in black and white. Why would we watch that? And that's so old. And that pisses me off because that movie is just, if you get to like the psychological undertone of it, you would feel like the chill that I feel. I just want people to have that same experience. That and The Exorcist. What gets me upset is that that movie still is genuinely scary to me, right? But I have this theory that people are so desensitized because of what modern horror is, contemporary horror is, that they don't find it as scary. And when I hear somebody be like, oh, it wasn't so scary, it didn't have no jump scares in that movie, that genuinely pisses me off because that's not what horror is. If it makes sense, like you don't always watch a horror movie to be scared in that sense. There's different levels of being scared, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. I understand that. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
I would love to remake one horror movie. Does the movie have to be like necessarily bad, or is it like a classic that I would be remaking?
Either or.
I think I would go with like bad because I think I would remake the Sleepaway Camp reboot because that movie was so disappointing. So from like the
Agreed.
original,
Agreed. I thought it was
yeah.
boring.
It was cringe, that ending. It was Full of Sorrows could be utilized way better than that. So if I had to remake anything, it would be the Sleepaway Camp reboot. I would make it better for sure.
Oh, I love that answer.
Anything would be better than that.
So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
One horror villain that I know I could survive. I would say I could take Chucky. I honestly say I think I could. He's just a little doll. And it'll be cool to have like a collection piece, like an antique on my wall, just like tied on, like how they have Annabelle in that Ed and Lorraine Warren Museum, just to like chain him up. So when quarantine's done, you like charge money so people to come
Yeah.
in and see like a real life Chucky doll. Become a millionaire for Chucky.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you on the internet?
You can find me on Facebook. I'm on, well, not Twitter anymore. Sorry, it's X. Oh, don't even get me started on X. You can find me on X slash Twitter. I'm on Threads and Instagram as well too. All names, Ronaldo Caparo.
Awesome. Well, good luck surviving the heat, and I can't wait to see what happens with volume one, and I can't wait for volume two as well.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for all the kind words. I'll definitely try. I have my water here with me, but it isn't cold enough. I feel like I'm sweating my life out. Not because I'm nervous. You did a really great job making me feel comfortable, and I'm so grateful. I love your podcast. So to be a part of it now is a complete honor. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, have an awesome rest of your day. That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Ronaldo Catuaru. And thanks again to Ronaldo for coming on. I'll leave links to his socials and where you can find his writing online. And thanks again to Magic Mind for partnering with us. Don't forget to use the discount code Allison20 at checkout and go to magicmind.com/Allison. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Who's There PC. Don't forget to check out our Patreon if you want to stay connected. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.